Good evening, Patriots. I'm Praying Medic, and this is my QAnon broadcast for Sunday, June 21st. Welcome to the broadcast, and happy Father's Day. Those of you who are following along at home, doing your own decodes, you can find Q posts on a number of different websites, including QAnon.pub and QAnon.news/Q. If you have an Android device and you would like to get notifications when Q is posting, got a couple of options for you. Q Alerts and Q Map are the two apps. You can go to the website and install those apps directly. Instructions are on the websites. They are not available in the Play Store. If you are new to Q, or if you have friends and family who are looking for information, you might want to check out my book, Calm Before the Storm. Some of the chapters in the book are Tumbling Down the Rabbit Hole, which discusses how I got involved in the Q movement. There is a chapter on Saudi Arabia, disinformation, learning to read the map, game theory, General Flynn. There's a chapter on Admiral Rogers. I discuss a little bit my thoughts on who is Q. There's a chapter on the deep state. There's also a glossary in the back of the book that has over 500 terms that Q uses in his operation. Symbols, acronyms, names of agencies and people you may not be familiar with. Calm Before the Storm is available on both Amazon and Barnes & Noble. My theme for this broadcast is Durham is not the only game in town. The first part of this broadcast is going to cover the announcement by the Attorney General that Jay Clayton is going to be nominated to serve as U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York. Q posted a link to that announcement on the Justice Department Twitter page. There was only one problem with that announcement, and that is the fact that Jeff Berman was currently serving as the temporary appointment U.S. Attorney for Southern District of New York. And when he heard he was being replaced, he said he's not leaving his position. He had no intention of resigning. So a little bit of a ruckus over that, actually. Berman posted this statement on the SDNY U.S. Attorney's Twitter page. I learned in the press release from the Attorney General tonight that I was stepping down as U.S. Attorney. I have not resigned, and I have no intention of resigning my position, to which I was appointed by the judges of the United States District Court for the Southern District of New York. So he was a court-appointed U.S. Attorney. And then he continues, I will step down when a presidentially appointed nominee is confirmed by the Senate. Until then, our investigations will move forward without delay or interruption. I cherish every day that I work with the men and women of this office to pursue justice without fear or favor, and intend to ensure that the office's important cases continue unimpeded. The issue with Berman is that he was initially appointed temporarily by Jeff Sessions. He was given that position as U.S. Attorney, Southern District of New York, for 6 months. That was in January of 2018. Then in April, the judges of the Southern District of New York unanimously appointed him as the U.S. Attorney for that district until the vacancy was filled and President Trump had not nominated a permanent replacement. Q responded to that. There's a link to the DOJ tweet, SDNY, importance of SDNY, control, jurisdiction. Q gives us some important cases that are under the jurisdiction of SDNY. The Anthony Weiner laptop evidence collection, the Clinton Foundation, Epstein evidence collection, Ukraine. Then Q writes, focus on the above for now. Watch New York City. All right, that's in brackets. That's an old post. I'll get to that in just a minute. There's also a link here to the SDNY tweet that I already showed you that one. And then Q writes, the guard refusing to step down, POTUS refusal to formally nominate. Appointed to post by SDNY judges. Unusual. Removal of acting. The stakes are high. They will fight Super Bowl puppy show. Q. All right, I'll cover all of this, and it's a little bit confusing. It is often hard to judge the loyalties of someone that you've never met. I try to reserve judgment on people's character until I get some evidence. And Adam Schiff was nice enough to get on Twitter and voice his support for Berman. So that confirmed to me that Berman was probably a bad apple. Schiff wrote, another Friday night, another attempted massacre, this time SDNY U.S. Attorney Berman. Barr does Trump's dirty work again. Whether this is payback for Berman's past independence or a new effort to obstruct pending investigations, we do not know. Well, like I said, if Adam Schiff is giving Berman support, that pretty much tells me he's a deep state asset. All right, one of the cases under SDNY jurisdiction pertains to the files that were found on Anthony Weiner's laptop. They were transferred to his laptop from his wife, Huma Abedin, who got them from Hillary Clinton. There are all kinds of files on that laptop, and that has been a big controversy. They initially were found by NYPD, and then there was a search warrant that came from the FBI, and there is a lot of debating back and forth about what is going to happen with those files. So if we go back a couple of years to May of 2018, Q wrote this: Allison Mack, NXIVM, arrested date. She was arrested on, I believe, April 20th of 2018. When does a bird sing? Eric Schneiderman, he was the New York Attorney General. When did he resign? Right after Allison Mack was arrested. Coincidence? Eyes Wide Open, the name of a film. Who will be next? Watch New York City, watch California. So Q has been kind of hinting that both in California and New York City, there are going to be people indicted related to sex crimes, NXIVM, and other sex crime, sex cult issues. I think Q is hinting that Berman has been covering for those people. And now that Berman is gone, that stuff's going to come out. And this was another post from May 2018. Find the two NYPD detectives who were killed, 187, mid-2017. Did they view the insurance file? That's the file on Anthony Weiner's laptop that supposedly had a lot of very disgusting videos and images on it. Threats are real. This is not a game. Q. And President Trump mentioned in a speech who the officer was, Officer Familia. And Q said, did you catch it during the speech? Godspeed, Patriot. We'll never forget. All right. So in that post from the 20th, Q wrote, Super Bowl puppy show. A lot of people are scratching their heads. What the heck does that mean? You have to go back to February 20th of 2019. On that date, in a non-noted per a report from John Solomon, that the president was not going to be criminally charged in the Mueller investigation. Hey, February 20th, that's important to remember. So Q responded, but you knew that already, because Q had been telling us Trump wasn't going to be indicted. Hence why Adam Schiff, SDNY, and Maxine Waters, MW, are trying to keep the insurance scheme going post-Mueller. Fear. The fun begins directly after. We'll make the Super Bowl look like a puppy show. February 20th. 2 days later, it was announced that Robert Kraft, owner of the Super Bowl champion New England Patriots, was swept up in a human trafficking prostitution sting. Anon said, you can bet Q knew that Kraft was on the surveillance video just when he got all the liberals in the fake news. Keck. Q responded, Super Bowl, winners, puppy, sex, Urban Dictionary. Q. So Q is hinting here that his drop from 2 days earlier was actually, there was double meanings in those words. So the link Q posted here to the Urban Dictionary definition of sex puppy. Very sexy person who does nothing all day but follow around his or her master in a sexual manner. All right, so let's move on. And Anon noted that the president has the authority to remove U.S. Attorney Berman. He posted this message here, 28 U.S. Code, Section 541. And here's the Office of Legal Counsel opinion affirming that the president does have the authority to remove court-appointed U.S. attorneys. So Q responded to the Anon and said, correct, the president does have the power to remove court-appointed U.S. attorneys. Posted a repost of one of his messages from June 10th. Do Anons understand what is about to be unleashed? All right, and unleashed is underlined. Along with this, we have a tweet from Mike Pompeo, three pictures of his puppy Mercer, and Mercer is off the leash. And somebody drew a little thing there. Hey, leash, off the leash. Q said, do you Anons understand what's about to be unleashed? So Q is kind of hinting here that Mike Pompeo is in on what is about to be unleashed. He's part of it. And it has to do with, I think, sex trafficking. All right, that's why Q posted that link to the definition of sex puppy. And then you have this. Why did Secretary Pompeo accuse John Bolton of being a traitor? This is a tweet from June 18th. It is both sad and dangerous that John Bolton's final public role is that of a traitor who damaged America by violating his sacred trust. All right, and then he doubled down. This is Pompeo's private Twitter account. And he posted the definition of the word traitor, one who betrays another's trust or is false to an obligation or duty. Pompeo and Q are kind of, I think, triangulating. There's some things going on here. And I think we're going to see more of this. So Q then posted this. CIA director, early 2017, April 2018. Who was it? It was Pompeo. External advisory board to the CIA. Who were the members during this time? Was Bill Barr a member of the board? What advantages might exist in incoming Attorney General Barr if he was a member of the external advisory board of the CIA? What advantages might exist to Secretary of State if he was the former director of the CIA? Now, Q switches to the way that the takedown of the deep state is being put together. It must be done right. It must be done according to the law. It must be proven. It's what you don't see. Durham is not the only game in town, Q. So I think Q is telling us that both Barr and Pompeo were gathering information on bad actors in the CIA so that when Barr went to Department of Justice, he would have a good bearing on where the prosecution needed to go for the bad actors in the deep state. And Pompeo would then help him with that. The CIA declined to divulge the full list of names who are on Pompeo's advisory board for the CIA, but Barr was on the list, according to this political article. So yeah, Durham is not the only game in town. There are many other investigations underway. And it's worth noting, Barr is personally leading some of these investigations. In fact, the antitrust investigations of Google and Facebook, Barr is personally overseeing those investigations. Barr is putting in his basket the most important investigations. He's not trusting them to other people. He's taking care of them himself. Q posted a link to a tweet by ABC. So ABC News had this tweet, and there's just a snippet from this letter that Barr wrote to Berman. Just in, Attorney General William Barr responds to SDNY Attorney Jeffrey Berman. Unfortunately, with your statement of last night, you've chosen public spectacle over public service. I have asked the president to remove you as of today, and he has done so. And this is there's a longer letter here. So then The Hill published this article. Berman notified the Attorney General that he will step down, and that was effective immediately. So there is now an acting U.S. attorney in that position. She was the associate Attorney General. This morning, Anand posted this. It's about the rally last night in Tulsa. Thousands more supporters with tickets were not being allowed past the barricades at the rally in Tulsa. Apparently, there are no more screeners to let us through the checkpoints. If you hear there's a poor turnout, it's simply not true. And then this one over here, these are two tweets that they posted. My husband and son had tickets to attend the Trump rally, not allowed to enter because of protesters and the gates being locked for safety reasons. So this Anand said, they couldn't get in. We need to start showing up when Biden holds his gatherings. Can't call them rallies, not enough people attending. Q responded to that. It will not happen again. Remember, they also phone in to report threats, deliberate, heightened security due to recent events. What was the combined social media unique view count of the rally, non-TV, last night? 5 million plus. Keep your eye on the ball, Q. Right, there's a lot of people that are kind of arguing and debating what the attendance issues were last night. It's not worth arguing. Trump has massive support. It's not waning, it's getting stronger. This is from Michael Moore, and he's making observations about Trump and Biden. They started lining up on Tuesday in Tulsa for Trump's rally today. 100,000 are expected. Trump has lost none of his base, and they are more rabid than ever. Sleeping on the sidewalk for 5 nights just to get to see Trump, that is commitment. Do not take Trump for granted. Don't think he can't win. Don't get all cocky telling everyone there's no way he's going to win the White House, because frankly, you sound a lot like yourself 4 years ago when you told everyone there was no way this country was going to put a clown in the Oval Office. If you are once again not taking my warning seriously, then I have a question, and I want you to answer. And I ask you to answer me honestly. How many people would line up for 5 days just to hear Joe Biden talk? 12? 5? None? The candidate who inspires the most people in the swing states to excitedly get to the polls and ensure that each of them bring 10 to 20 of their friends and family with them on election day, all of them highly motivated, fired up, and on a mission from God, that's who wins the White House. Don't think we don't have a problem here. Don't get all smug laughing at these bubbas in Tulsa and snickering over how many of them are going to come down with COVID-19. They live, eat, and breathe Trump, and none of us are doing that with Joe Biden. We're counting on hatred of Trump, not love of Biden, to win the day. Is that how you really think hate beats love? Michael Moore is sending out a panic alarm to his liberal friends. Hey, we got a problem here. This is not good. The enthusiasm for Trump is not waning. And Michael Moore is correct. A lot of people are, unfortunately, buying the fake news, but enthusiasm for the president has never been higher. Q posted this. There is a link to a YouTube video, which is an interview between Maria Bartiromo and Attorney General Barr. And Q said, focus at 21 minutes and 45 seconds in the video. It's also a meme over here. Haven't you figured it out yet? It's not about Trump's corruption. It's about making sure you don't find out about their corruption. And that is true. So let me read this here. Can you see and understand their attempts to slow or stop accountability? Who benefits the most? COVID to C lockdowns. All right, so when you see a C here, that's COVID two and lockdowns. Those two together, the lockdowns and COVID, POTUS economic gains wiped. POTUS unemployment gains wiped. POTUS rally hold, prevent gathering, diminish energy. The lockdowns plus COVID have closed churches and other person-to-person events, keeping people in isolation, diminishing energy, and causing people to have fear and no hope. The lockdowns and COVID have increased the death toll. Democrat mayors and governors pushing COVID-positive seniors into hot zones, seniors, nursing homes, care facilities, retain fear and lockdown, isolate and control, combined with pneumonia influenza death count with COVID, which increases the death toll. Most of the deaths are actually from pneumonia. They're not actually from COVID, but they conflate those numbers to make the death toll look higher. Lockdowns plus COVID, Joe Biden, hideaway, prevent self-embarrassment. Dems, state mail-in ballots, doorstep flood. Build public unrest, future Black Lives Matter. Every 4 years, Black Lives Matter gets pushed, only in election years. Lockdown plus COVID, release, unrest, Black Lives Matter, 4 year push within the closed Democrat-controlled cities and dedicated safe zones. Mayors and governors coordinated, guaranteeing the release of those who were arrested. That's why a lot of people aren't being charged in the violence. Black Lives Matter, 4 year push. Biden, negative news is eliminated. Regarding Ukraine, China, family bribes, and corruption. Black Lives Matter, 4 year push. Biden, negative news eliminated regarding sexual assault claim. Tara Reid, preserve the Me Too for future Republican attack. Black Lives Matter, 4 year push. Insert Antifa, DNF, domestic and foreign, pocket controlled. Democrat safe zones, country on fire for real. MSDNC reports it's all peaceful protests, which is fake. They're baiting the president to use the military, civilian, untrained, capture the money shot, shooting a peaceful protester, breach of White House perimeter, take over central location, attempt the White House breach, safety, security, POTUS. Right? So the mainstream media and politicians are baiting and taunting Trump to use the military or to get protesters to take a violent action because that's what they want. Current and former military public statements, they're trying to accuse him of an unconstitutional framework, military takeover, if he exercised his constitutional authority, which was prevented by loyalists Black Lives Matter, four-year push. COVID wave two opportunity card, so Democrat mayors and governors can impose new restrictions if needed. They can retain the narrative that we need to have mail-in voting and safety and security of the public, which limits economic and unemployment recovery, slows it down. Here in Arizona, we've got some mayors that have voted to require citizens to wear masks. Well, why are they doing that? Because they want to keep this momentum rolling so they can demand vote by mail across the country. In the interview that Attorney General Barr had today, these things were added. Lockdowns plus COVID halts the use of grand juries due to close proximity. COVID mandated restrictions throughout all cities. Lockdowns and COVID also halt the travel of called witnesses regarding pending investigations. Durham, known. The COVID provides a legal out for witnesses who can say, I do not feel comfortable and or safe traveling due to COVID-19 health concerns. James Clapper said that last month. He was interviewed and asked if he would come in and testify. He said, I'll consider testifying by a video chat, but I don't feel comfortable coming in and testifying in person. And that's their excuse to not have to testify. The driver for all of this is the baseline narrative being pushed by the MSDNC, which is a coordinated narrative to con people. Apply logic and common sense. What are they trying to prevent and who benefits the most? All assets deployed, Q. And let's listen to a little bit of what Attorney General Barr had to say with Maria Bartiromo on today's interview.
We're waiting on John Durham's investigation, a criminal investigation. What bearing does the election have on that? I haven't heard any Democrats raise any upset over the fact that wiretapping of an American citizen was illegal. An FBI agent changed evidence, changed a document, a whole host of issues. So am I to believe that if we don't get the results of the John Durham investigation before the election and Donald Trump loses, we won't hear another word about this?
Well, first, I agree with you. It's been stunning that all we've gotten from the mainstream media is sort of bovine silence in the face of the complete collapse of the so-called Russiagate scandal, which they did all they could to sensationalize and drive. And it's like not even a whoops, they just on to the next false scandal. So that has been surprising to me, that people aren't concerned about civil liberties and in the integrity of our governmental process. In terms of the future of Durham's investigation, he's pressing ahead as hard as he can, and I expect that, you know, we will have some developments hopefully before the end of the summer. But as I've said, his investigation will continue. It's not going to stop because of the election. What happens after the election may depend on who wins the election.
Has he been delayed because of the COVID-19 pandemic?
There has been delay because of the pandemic. Yes, there has.
An inability to interview people?
Yes. Not an inability, but a distinct slowing down of that process.
Because you can't gather a grand jury?
Well, I don't want to suggest there has been or is a grand jury, but it is a fact that there have not been grand juries in virtually all districts for a long period of time. And also people have been reluctant to travel for interviews and things like that. So it has slowed things down. But he's been working where he can on other matters that aren't affected by the pandemic, but there has been an effect.
SpaceShot76 noticed a similarity between the president's words last night about violence and Q's explanation of his actions. Q wrote, sometimes you can't tell the public the truth. You must show them. Only then will people find the will to change. Now listen to what the president said.
I flew in with some of our great congressmen who we're going to introduce in a second, and I said to him, Congressman, what do you think? I can straighten it out fast. Should we just go in? No, sir. Let it simmer for a little while. Let people see what radical left Democrats will do to our country.
So Q responded to that. MSDNC, they say it's peaceful, summer of love. In reality, seen on social media, murder, violence, destruction, anarchy, and lawlessness. People are awake to the truth. Seeing is believing. The age of social media killed their ability to fully control. You can't censor the world. You are the majority. Q. Robbie Starbucks says, there's still a lot of good in humanity when we stop seeing everything through racial lens. Unite and love each other. Let you watch this video.
Take it easy, y'all.
Watch your foot stuff, Bob.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much, fellas.
And Q responded, have faith in humanity, have faith in yourself, do not let the media control you or incite division and hatred for one another by use of propaganda and fear-mongering dogma, a point of view or tenet pushed forth as authoritative without adequate grounds. Q. Q posted this. There's a couple of links here, three actually. And the first one is to a tweet by Steve Scalise. I'm going to let you listen to what Steve has to say.
As I started looking at the data, we found something pretty alarming. And that is that over 40% of all the COVID deaths in America happened among seniors in nursing homes. Mike, seniors in nursing homes represent about 0.6% of the American population. Less than 1% of the population accounts for over 40% of the deaths. 45 states, by and large, did this the right way, but five states, Mike, just five states, their governors went against the federal guidelines that were coming out of CMS and decided to force those seniors back that were in hospitals. If you're a senior, you were in a nursing home, you started feeling bad, they sent you to a hospital. Well, if you were COVID positive, these five governors forced those seniors back to the nursing home and prohibited the nursing home from even testing to see if they were COVID positive, to know if they were. And this, these are alarming numbers, by the way, Mike. We've identified over 20,000 seniors who should not have died.
So Q wrote this. How is it possible that select Democrat governors thought it was safe to push COVID-19 positive elderly patients back into nursing homes, hot zones in brackets? There is a link to yale.edu article about why the flu is deadly among the elderly. Here's a quote. Each year, 90% of the deaths worldwide related to influenza A virus strike men and women age 65 or older. Q continues, if the flu, influenza, is more deadly among the elderly, and it's known, how is it possible that select Democrat governors thought it was safe to push COVID-19 positive elderly patients back into nursing homes, hot zones? Why would this be directed if hospitals plus U.S. Navy medical ships, New York City and California, erected care facilities had more than 70% capacity? There's a link here to findlaw.com, a description of third-degree murder. Then Q takes a quote from that page. Someone can be accused of third-degree murder if they unintentionally cause someone else's death while committing a dangerous act. Negligent? Reckless? Who benefits the most? Why only Democrat governors? How do you reasonably explain what occurred? Then Q posted this. It's a link to an article in the New York Post, and there's a quote from it. The health official responsible for overseeing nursing homes in Pennsylvania, where nearly 70% of the state's coronavirus-related deaths have occurred, has reportedly moved her elderly mother out of a facility as deaths skyrocketed. Q writes, reconcile. And here's the article. Yeah, that's a good question. How do you reconcile their health secretary's decision to move her mother to another location while telling nursing homes they had to accept COVID-positive patients? That gets us caught up to Q for today. If you've enjoyed this broadcast, you might want to subscribe to my channel. Thank you for sharing this on social media. If you'd like to support me on Patreon, the link to my Patreon page is in the description box. If you want to check out my book, Calm Before the Storm, that link is also in the description box. Please continue keeping me and Denise in prayer. keep the president in prayer, keep Q and the team in prayer, keep the military in prayer and the Secret Service. Denise and I will keep you in prayer, and we will catch you on the next broadcast.